I'm the Director of Mobile Health Programs for Children's National Medical Center. And it's my pleasure to be here and also welcome you to the District of Columbia because we have definitely a public health crisis and epidemic when it comes to asthma in the district, but I think it also reflects what we're seeing in a lot of urban cities nationwide. So first, I want to acknowledge my supporters. The Power Foundation has been a big financial supporter for my own practice-based childhood asthma initiative. Also, the Children's Health Fund, which is my parent program in New York, started their childhood asthma initiative in the New York City area, and I was able to replicate the model that they have with their mobile health programs and fixed-site programs in the District of Columbia. One of the unique things with the DC program is we tried to model what New York was doing, which is using mental health screening for parents, because studies have shown, Dr. Malvo here in the District of Columbia did a lot of work showing that depression and mental health issues in mothers really had an impact in the care that the children were receiving. Also, Impact DC, which stands for Improving Pediatric Asthma Care in the District of Columbia, is a surveillance and intervention group that's based out of Children's National Medical Center. And their role is actually to look at emergency room visits and provide emergency department-based education for asthma. And so a lot of the data that I have is from Impact DC. Also, D.C. Department of Health Control Asthma Now Steering Committee. I am on that committee and one of their subcommittees, so I definitely want to acknowledge Edwina Davis, who's the asthma manager for the Department of Health, and the National Capital Asthma Coalition, the executive director is Lisa Gilmore. They have done a lot of work in working with not only public sector but private sector partnerships to improving asthma outcomes in the district. So the goals and objectives for this my presentation is to hopefully you all have a better understanding the extent of asthma prevalence and morbidity outcomes in the inner city of Washington, D.C., learn about a community-wide strategy to address these health disparities, and then ultimately have a better understanding of how policy change can affect health outcomes and what we're looking for in terms of what we're doing in the district. So why D.C.? Why are we focusing on asthma and trying to improve asthma outcomes? We know that asthma is one of the most common chronic pediatric medical conditions. We know that 9 to 10 million children suffer from asthma, which also asthma accounts for more than a million emergency room visits, as well as more than 15 million missed school days and work days. So we know it's a problem nationally, but in the district, we're seeing numbers that show that it really is an epidemic, and the numbers are higher than our national numbers. Between 1995 and 2000, we had 92 D.C. residents who died from asthma, including 12 children. And then between 2000 and 2002, we had an additional 20 deaths in the district, and two of those were also in children ages 0 to 17. In this day and age, we should not see any deaths from asthma. So the question is, what are we doing or not doing as a city or a jurisdiction that is having great impact on the mortality that's due to asthma? And one unique thing is, because I work in the Anacostia region of the district, we also saw more and more of mortality and morbidity in Ward 6, 7, and 8. And in a couple slides, you'll actually get to see the geographical makeup of the District of Columbia. Again, going on to why D.C., like I said before, our numbers are higher than the national numbers in terms of the asthma prevalence, in terms of children who have asthma in school, the fact that we're inner city, and studies have shown that asthma is uncontrolled in 85% of inner city children, and that in the District of Columbia, we're seeing just enormous numbers of emergency room visits due to asthma as well as hospital admissions. So here we have a very colorful picture showing us the District of Columbia. You are currently in Ward 2, which is in Northwest D.C. Most of the work that I do are in Wards 5, 6, 7, and 8. From a geographical standpoint, the district is separated by the Anacostia River. So when you talk about D.C. politics or D.C. health indicators, you look at east of the river, and east of the river is usually Ward 6, 7, and 8, which identifies those living at lower than the federal poverty level, those who suffer the worst outcomes, and of course, asthma is one of those where you see a lot of visits to the emergency room in residents who live in Ward 6, 7, and 8. So what I want you all to get out of this is more to look at the colors, and visits to the emergency room by zip code was done by the Impact DC group. But what I'm hoping you will see here is that the red area correlates well to where poverty is in the District of Columbia. And when they actually did analysis of emergency room visits in the upper northwest quadrant in Ward 3, the visits were 4 per 1,000, whereas in Ward 8, which would be down here, it was 45 per 1,000. So, you know, close to a 12-fold difference in this particular jurisdiction, that's not very large. And so the question is, why this disparity? What is happening? And Impact DC was able to help us also see what's happening in terms of emergency room visits. They were able to look at emergency room visits for children birth to 4 years of age and even older kids. They actually did survey of kids through the age of 17. And if you look at these rates, they're appalling. They're appalling in the fact that we are pretty much in the District of Columbia 5 times the national rate. And in terms of healthy people 2010, we're 10 times the goal, which is 80 per 10,000 visits to the emergency room department. We're at 745, which again shows us that we have a significant problem in the District of Columbia. And why is that so? When we have such a small city and people are doing things in different silos, why are we not having a concerted effort and actually having some sort of impact? Pediatric age distribution, Impact DC also has shown over the 4 years they've done the data analysis of emergency room visits that most of the children are under the age of 8. Close to 70% are 8 or younger that are going to the emergency room. And again, because I'm part of Children's National Medical Center, it's one of the biggest providers of pediatric care in the District of Columbia. So in the total number of visits being 34,000 between January of 2002 and December of 2006, we see 83% of those visits to the emergency department are going to Children's National Medical Center. The unique thing about the District of Columbia is that we're bordered by Maryland and Virginia. So I even think the emergency room visits is an underestimation because a lot of our families tend to go to Prince George's County and to Virginia. And so there's a lot of traveling in terms of our families using the emergency room. But this is just to show you, the data shows that Children's National Medical Center is seeing a lot of the kids that are going for asthma. Also, Impact DC was able to show us that a lot of these kids were discharged. Some were admitted, not a very high number, and then you have the unknown, like we don't know what happened to them in terms of data acquisition, and other could be those who went over to short stay, not necessarily admitted, but went to a short stay unit and then were discharged. But ultimately, what this is showing is that a lot of the kids that went to the emergency room were discharged within 24 hours of going there. So there is definitely a big problem. Asthma continues to be a chronic disease that is not well managed, requires not only strict clinical attention from a provider standpoint, but also what I believe grassroots education advocacy at the parents, teacher, provider, and ultimately legislative level. Because what we're noticing is ultimately the child is not being focused on. You're looking at policies, you're looking at regulations, but the child is suffering. If you're doing all this work in terms of asthma, why are the visits in 2001 the same as the number of visits in 2006 to the emergency room? Because we're using the emergency room visits as the point that's telling us what's happening with asthma care. So what I did in my own practice, again, this is a replicate of the Children's Health Fund Childhood Asthma Initiative, is actually create a very strict and focused regimen for our families to decrease emergency room visits, decrease missed school days, and decrease hospitalization. I'm not going to go into detail because I know I don't have much time, but ultimately what we saw is that by implementing a very strict evidence-based tracking system in terms of making sure our families came to see us every 2 to 3 months, making sure that when they went to the emergency room, they followed up and they got adequate education, we saw that we had a decreased number of emergency room visits, we had decreased hospitalizations, and better compliance with the medication. management. One unique thing that we learned in our own setting is that the way you communicate to the parent and communicate to children really impacted them actually being compliant or adhering with the regimen. Using pictures versus words also helped, because a lot of our families are very low literacy. And so we saw the way that we educated really had an impact in families adhering or complying with the regimen. And ultimately, we are seeing an improved quality of life for our kids. But again, it goes beyond my own practice. So from a citywide perspective, we have the D.C. Control Asthma Now Steering Committee. In 2001, the CDC gave grant was given to the District of Columbia to develop an asthma control program. And you'll see a lot of this in some other presentations that is being done nationwide. And what we try to do as a steering committee is to develop a citywide asthma surveillance system, develop a viable, comprehensive, community-based, consumer-centered strategic plan, and improve asthma prevention, diagnosis, and management through identification and use of best practice, also implementing evidence-based asthma intervention. Pretty big goals, pretty big goals for us. Again, we were trying to do it in individual organizations, private and public, but still the work was not getting done, because we were still seeing kids in the emergency room, still seeing kids hospitalized, and still seeing kids that are missing school. So they had different subcommittees to actually address all of the goals. And I served on the Health and Services and Quality Assurance Subcommittee, which ultimately was meshed with the Policy Planning and Resource Development Committee, because what we saw is the Health Services and Quality Assurance linked very much with policy and planning. And what we, our goals for this particular subcommittee was to promote utilization of NIH national guidelines for asthma management and identify and eliminate barriers and gaps in the delivery of asthma care services. So some of the outcomes for this is that the DC CAN group, DC Control Asthma Now group, what we did is work with the National Capital Asthma Coalition to do a lot in terms of education, in terms of trying to get policy passed in the district, and developing an asthma action plan that could be a standard of care in the city. So the National Capital Asthma Coalition is a nonprofit organization here in the district that really is a coalition of public and private partners, where their goal was to take all of the goals of the steering committee and put it to work. And so what we did in the Health and Quality Committee is work with the National Capital Asthma Coalition to spearhead the Student Access to Treatment Emergency Act of 2007, which was just recently put in as emergency legislation. But the most exciting thing for us is the Asthma Action Plan. We've developed a standardized Asthma Action Plan, which is a triplicate. And what we're hoping to do with this triplicate Asthma Action Plan is to create a registry of data collection so that when the child goes to the emergency room, that Asthma Action Plan can be actually pulled up by the emergency room physician, because ultimately, when our kids go to the emergency room, they get a dose of steroids. And they keep going to get a dose of steroid because there's no communication. There is no data being exchanged between the emergency room and the primary care physician. So this triplicate, the first copy, which is color, goes to the parent, so they have that at home. The second copy goes to the school nurse. And the third copy stays with the provider. On the back of the third copy are the NHLBI guidelines, because what we also realized are that providers are not uniform in their practice. We were still having providers writing for oral albuterol, and no one was actually managing asthma according to the guidelines. They were doing their own method, which works for them. But again, we need to create a standard of care for all kids so there is no disparity. Maybe the Northwest doctors were doing it according to the evidence-based practices and the Southeast doctors weren't. We don't know why, but ultimately what we wanted to do was raise the standard so there's a common level that every child in the district was getting the same type of care. So this is hopefully going to replicate what we are doing with EPSDT forms. We actually have a vendor where we put those forms, triplicate forms, into a data system, so we're able to track BMI and able to track a whole lot of chronic diseases. We're hoping that the Asthma Action Plan will, within the next year, be put into a registry. So most recent thing that we've been able to do again is to get the Student Access to Treatment Emergency and Temporary Act of 2007 passed as emergency legislation. I know I have all of 0 seconds left, and which is exciting for us because we were one of the few jurisdictions that did not give students who were able to actually administer their own medicine the ability to carry their inhalers with them. What I think for the District of Columbia, we didn't have a child die before this legislation went into effect because you don't want to react to something. So we actually were very, very lucky, I would say, in the fact that we haven't had any child die within the school system because this helps protect us. And there isn't a big issue with liability because we've written it so that the school nurses or any school instructor who's able to help administer the medicine is not held liable. So again, this is very exciting, and really it's happening today. You know, the steering committee has said the steering committee this act to say look at certain wordings to make sure it's in the council, health council being reviewed. Look at it before it goes to final review. So that's the end. I apologize for going over, and definitely would love to answer any questions that you may have.
If anybody has a clarifying question, what we'll do is take any quick questions that can be answered between presentations, and then save the sort of the galactic significance ones. We should have about 15 or 20 minutes left at the end. Is it quick?
In terms of frequent flyers to the emergency room, the data that Impact DC did show that there were frequent flyers, but they haven't been able to produce that data in terms of looking and saying, well, of this subset, these were the frequent flyers who kept coming back over and over again. And so this is the subset that we have to work with in terms of changing behavior and attitude, because we know a lot of our families that use the emergency room are using that as their primary care source of asthma management, and there is a very few follow-up with their medical home providers. Mm-hmm. Well, pretty much what we wanted to do with the Asthma Action Plan was pull all the different individuals who had some sort of role in a child's life. So the provider, being number one, that last copy of the triplicate had the NHLBI guidelines on the back. The school nurse, because we were seeing a lot of the kids were missing school. So the school nurse had that second copy, and the parent had that third. So ultimately, what we wanted to do was connect the dots, make sure there's some sort of communication occurring, may not be necessarily verbal, but paper communication between the parent, the provider, and the school nurse. And ultimately, what we want that asthma action plan, or what we call asthma management plan, to be is to go into a registry. So again, there's communication with the emergency department or other providers who may have to look at the child's information.